Mark 5, it says that they pressed into the Lord to hear what he might say. And it says that they pressed into him in Luke 5 to see what he might do. And the Lord has called us to press in this year. So these 24-hour prayer meetings are all about pressing in this year to see what the Lord will do and to hear what the Lord will say. Amen. And this morning, we're going back to the book of Revelation. Hallelujah. We haven't had the book of Revelation for a while, have we? So there's been that many things going on. So if you remember, the last chapter that we went through was Revelation 19, and it led to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we're going into chapter 20 today. And listen, if ever there was a chapter to encourage those who've put their faith in Christ, Revelation chapter 20 is the one, okay? Because it clearly distinguishes those who not only have professed Jesus as their Savior, but who are actually living for him. So that's the key, isn't it? Because Jesus, the Father said of those in the Old Testament, these people worship me with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me. So it's really important that we worship him in spirit and in truth with our lifestyles as well as our praise. Amen. Amen. So Joe can have the first three verses. This is Revelation chapter 20. Okay. And this is what John said. He said, I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. He sees the dragon, the old serpent, who is the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole inhabited earth and bound him for 1,000 years and cast him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years were finished. After this, he must be freed for a short time. Just keep it there, Joe. So can you go back to verse 1? And we're just going to slowly go, because it's the first seven verses I want to particularly look at, because the others speak for themselves. So angels, as we remember in the book of Revelation and all through the scriptures, are always used to carry God's work out or to restrain something. If you remember in the book of Daniel, when the Gabriel was coming to bring Daniel the answer to his prayer, it was the prince of Persia was fighting him, wasn't it? And in Revelation 8 and 9, do you remember the angels blowing the trumpets, bringing in and calling in the judgment of God upon the inhabitants of the earth? And in Psalm 103:20, it says, bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. And there you have, just right in there, is just a little where the psalmist and God has just brought about a revelation for the psalmist that the angels don't only do the word of God, but they obey the voice of the word of God. When I say a word, it hasn't got its own voice. So it's referring to Jesus there. They obey the voice of the word. Jesus was the word in the beginning. Amen. That's just a little supplement on the side. Hallelujah. In Revelation 9, 2 and chapter 11, the fifth trumpet blew and the bottomless pit was opened. Go to the next verse, please, Joe. And so if you remember, as we've been going through the book of Revelation, that there comes a time where judgment is poured out, which we're not far off in these days. And a huge abyss was opened. And if you remember, all those crazy-looking creatures came out of the abyss and were sent to torment the unbelievers on earth for 5 months. Do you remember? And they had long hair and tails like locusts and all sorts of things going on. You remember, Alice? Yeah, we don't want to be around for them, do we? No, 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 no. But these angels in this bottomless pit have a king reigning over them. Sorry, these fallen angels. And they have a king reigning over them. and his name is Satan. Amen. We have our king reigning over us, and that's the King of Kings. Amen. We don't want that bottomless pit king reigning over us. We don't want to be under him when the Lord returns. Amen. And his name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek is called Apollyon. Okay, if you remember that from the previous chapters of Luke. Do you remember the previous chapters of Revelation, but do you remember in the book of Luke where the guy has a legion of demons and Jesus goes to cast them out? And what did they say to him? Don't send us into the abyss. That's the very same thing referred to here, because they know it's conscious suffering in the abyss. And there are some chains in that abyss right now as I'm talking who are chained with everlasting chains. There are others who are moving around, but their time is coming as well. Hallelujah. Romans 10:7, it talks about the realm of the dead as well in the abyss. And if ever you needed to hear why you need to be in Christ, God has brought you here today to hear this. Seriously. Are you ready to go in a bit deeper? Okay. Right, okay. Bear in mind all this time that you are saved by the blood of Jesus if you have confessed him as your Lord and Savior. The scripture says here that he sees the dragon, the serpent, who is the devil, the one from Genesis, who deceived Eve. Move on to the next verse, please, Joe. And he cast him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him. In scripture, the chains are always symbolically used for divine restraint. Okay? And Jude 6, it says this, and the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Those angels are there now. In 2 Peter 2:4, it says that God committed some fallen angels with everlasting chains in gloomy darkness until judgment. So that there are not all the fallen angels are bound in the everlasting chains at this moment in time, although that's coming. But there are a portion who were probably group leaders in a sense, who were sort of, you know, rebelling against God. And we know that Satan led all the third of angels to rebel against God. But I believe it within that third of angels that there were certain angels who were leading the rebellion. Like generals, if you like. And God has chained them in everlasting chains. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So it comes in, this is one of the strange things in the scripture. It says, and cast him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him, that he should deceive the nations no more until 1,000 years were finished. After this, he must be freed for a short time. This 1,000 years, what is this talking about? Well, what happens at this 1,000 years, once we've done the tribulation, which is what we've been looking through over the books of the Revelation, over the chapters of Revelation. When that comes to an end, the tribulation, Jesus will return. There will still be men and women on the earth who still haven't turned to him. But what Jesus will do is he will reign for 1,000 years. And right at the start of that 1,000 years is what the scriptures call the first resurrection. If you remember, we had the scene in chapter 5 of Revelation where all the saints were round the throne glorifying Jesus. Okay? The resurrection hadn't happened then. The resurrection is nothing to do with those around there. That hadn't happened. when the scriptures talk about the resurrection, it's when the souls who were worshipping God and the martyrs who are on the earth and get martyred last of all during the tribulation are given their new bodies. That's the resurrection. Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. So we know as soon as we pass away from this earth, we're in the throne room. Believers are. We'll come to unbelievers in a minute. And this is why it's so important that you have ears to hear what the Lord is saying today. That in these days that our lamps are burning and we understand the call of God upon our lives and we walk in integrity that walk with Him. Amen. Hallelujah. So you can go to verse 4, please, Joe, the next verse. And this is what John said. He said, I saw thrones. We've seen that all through the book of Revelation, haven't we? The 24 elders on the thrones. And they sat on them. And judgment was given to them. I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God. If you think the Christian life is boring, if you really want an adventure, go to Afghanistan and preach the gospel. If you're bored in your Christian walk, then you're clearly not living for Christ. You're still full of the flesh. The Christian walk is the best adventure, the most incredible walk. We are the most amazing creatures on earth when we've got the Spirit of Christ living in us. It's true. And such as didn't worship the beast. This is talking about the tribulation, the seven-year tribulation that Daniel prophesied, the final week of judgment that is yet to come. And saying, such as didn't worship the beast nor his image and didn't receive the mark on their forehead or on their hand, they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So at the start of the 1,000 years, Jesus returns to reign on the earth for 1,000 years. This is right at the end of the tribulation. And we, who are in heaven by that time, we hope, will be returning with Him. And it will be our souls. And at that point, we come down and we are given new bodies to reign with Christ. Does that make sense? That is the first resurrection. We're going to come to the second resurrection, which is really important, that we understand the difference. Are you with me still? Okay. Hallelujah. So there are three groups of people who will go to heaven immediately and be with Christ. And there are three groups who will return to earth to receive their new bodies to reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And those three groups are, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:16, 17, the church saints. That's us. Okay? According to Daniel 12:2, the Old Testament saints. Okay? And then according to Revelation 24, that's these who it's speaking about on there, the tribulation saints. So there are three groups of millions and millions of believers who are going to come down at the end of the tribulation and reign on the earth with Christ for 1,000 years. And during that time, the enemy is going to be bound in the abyss so that he can't deceive the nations any longer. Hallelujah. Right. Just to reaffirm, 2 Corinthians 5:8 says that all believers, all those who profess faith and believe they rose from the dead, once absent from this body, are with Christ. Okay? You must keep that in your mind at the moment. Okay? And these are the reasons for the 1,000-year reign. I just wrote this down, so I'll read it out. That Jesus Christ will reign as king over the earth. That's what we've just read. Satan will be bound and unable to deceive the nations. Believers who were raised in the first resurrection will reign with Christ. Peace and justice will characterize Christ's kingdom. That's from Isaiah 2:4 and Isaiah 11:3-5. Remember that before Jesus comes back, there is going to be a false Jesus comes back. Do you remember that? Okay, this is the real Jesus. This is the real McCoy. Okay. The nations will worship the Lord and acknowledge his authority. That's in Zechariah 14, verse 16 and 17. Creation will experience renewed harmony and blessing. That's in Isaiah 11, 6 to 9. And at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan will be released briefly before the final judgment, which is the second resurrection. Those who don't put themselves in Christ, when they die, they're not with Christ. They go to the place of Hades to be there in conscious suffering, so they're aware of what's going on. But in that place, they will also be aware that there's a final judgment coming, where they will then be cast into the lake of fire. And the Father knows what that lake of fire consists of, and that's why he wishes that no one would go there. That he longs for all to be saved. And if you didn't have a passion for your friends and your neighbors and your family to be saved in Christ. Today, if you walk out of here, you should have a passion to see the lost saved because of what's coming upon them. And that's why in these last days that God is raising up young lions and young lionesses to go out and preach the word. I know young men and women aged 11 who are preaching the word in their schools up north. God is raising up a fearless generation. And where in the time of peace that the church found a lovely restful hammock and lay in there, now it's war. Now it's time to equip yourselves and be ready to preach the word of God for the harvest. And I remember before I came here, someone said to me when they were praying for the Lord to send someone along, the request was for an evangelist. Is that true? That this church, that's what I was told. Remember Steph? Steph told me that the church was asking the Lord for an evangelist. And for some reason, the Lord sees me as that and sent me along. So it's not my fault, it's his. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's one other reason why the millennium will happen, that 1,000-year reign. So you imagine this. If Jesus walked through that door now in body and came and sat next to you and you didn't know him, you'd be like, fall on your knees and give your life to him. But there will be people. So let me explain this. At the end of the tribulation, there will be hardly anyone alive on the earth. Okay? As the scriptures say, had the Lord not stopped the tribulation, the judgment, all flesh would perish. All flesh, animals and everything. But because he stopped it, there will be a very small amount of people still alive on the earth. So I had to like really research this because I thought, well, if there's billions of saints coming down with Jesus to reign and rule on the earth, who are we going to rule and reign if God has poured out judgment? Listen to this. if there was only 100 people left on the earth at the end of the tribulation, if there was just 100 people left, and they each had 4 children each, by the end of the 1,000 years, there would be over 100 million people on this earth. That's a very conservative figure, because there's not only going to be 100 people, there might be 1 million people left on the earth after the tribulation. And it says that they're going to have extra long lives in Isaiah. And we won't be, but the thing is this, they still refuse Christ. After 1,000 years, all these, not all of them, but a lot of them will still refuse Christ. That Jesus is going to be reigning from Jerusalem, and people's hearts from the very start are going to be so hardened towards the Lord that they're not going to turn to him. They're going to rebel against him. And at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan's going to be released again. And he will lead a holy rebellion against Jerusalem. He thinks he's going to come. I don't know what's in his brain, but he thinks he's going to come to Jerusalem with his army and destroy Jesus. Sometimes you just got to say it as it is, haven't you? What an idiot. What an idiot. And he's going to find out what an idiot he is. Because the Lord is going to destroy him. Hallelujah. And then the final reason for the 1,000-year reign is to complete the story of redemption. So you had the garden, or you had the serpent before the garden, then the garden, then the rebellion, then the curse fell on mankind. Then you had 6,000 years of man walking with God and learning to renew this relationship with him. 4,000 years in Jesus comes and redeems men back to God. And then the millennium arrives, Jesus returns, the millennium arrives, and the world is restored to a degree. Christ is reigning, the curse is lifted, and the millennium is the bridge between the end of the tribulation and the final day of judgment. Okay? So if you like, there are 4 stages to resurrection during that time, from the time of Christ to the final judgment. The first is that Jesus is called the first fruits of all people, yeah? Do you remember last week we read in Pentecost? And when the Holy Spirit came, it was proof that the first resurrected man had walked into the throne room of God. And that's why he's called the first fruits. He was the first one. And then the church saints at his coming are resurrected. That's according to Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. And as I've read already, the Old Testament saints, according to Daniel 12:2, but also in Hebrews 11:39 and 40, it talks about this. And then the final set of those 4 stages is the martyred saints, the ones who are alive when the Antichrist, the man of sin, walks into the third temple and declares himself God. And he gives everybody the mark. And if you refuse it, you get your head chopped off. I'm so glad that I know Jesus today. Hallelujah. So we've talked about the believers, what will happen with the believers. The unbelievers, let's turn to them. Can you go to next verse, please, Joe? I think it's the next one. Here we go. The rest, do you need some water, Janet? Do you want some water? You got some. The rest of the dead didn't live until the 1,000 years were finished. So the unbelievers, those who don't follow Christ, will not be on the earth during this millennial reign. They will be in Hades. They will be in conscious suffering awaiting the final day of judgment. It's horrendous, isn't it? The rest of the dead didn't live until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Can I have the next verse, please, Joe? Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. We are blessed. We're blessed. And we're holy. Amen. Over the ones who have come back with Jesus and been given new bodies, over these, the second death has no power. What is the second death? That is the time when everyone will be judged. Okay? So the dead who don't believe in Jesus will be called up from Hades to the judgment seat of the Father. And they will be sent to the lake of fire for rejecting the gift of the Son. Then, those of us who are on the earth still following Christ in our new bodies will also be called to the judgment seat. But it won't be for condemnation. It will be to judge what we've done with our life in Jesus. And the Lord will look at the works. And he'll consider the works of our hands and our walk in Jesus. And when he sees what works we've done, we'll be given a reward. And there'll be different crowns. So you get a crown for evangelism, leading people to the Lord. You get a crown for righteousness. There's many, many crowns. And Jesus being the first fruit, that beautiful old strong song says, crown him with many crowns. Because we will be before the throne with our crowns, going, oh, we look at each other going like, Mick Neal say, how come you got such a big one? I say, because I've done a lot of work. How come you've got such a big one, Mickner? Because I've got a big head. We'll be before the thrones with our crowns, our reward, and then we'll start doing what the 24 elders do. We will look upon the one who has saved us, and we'll see that we are so not worthy of those crowns, and we will be just casting them to him, crowning him with many crowns. It's beautiful, isn't it? A wonderful scene that is going on. Remember, those who don't follow Jesus are not in there at that time. By that time, they're going to be in the lake of fire. The temperature will have been turned up to full blast. And they'll also be with all the angels, the fallen angels, all the evil spirits, all the demons. You can't imagine what that place will be like. You get a little taste of what that place will be like. If you remember when Jesus spoke about Lazarus and the rich man. And then when Lazarus, not the Lazarus who was resurrected, but when Lazarus died, this poor man, and when the rich man died and they both died, the rich man went to Hades. And it says that Lazarus, this poor man, was in Abraham's bosom. He was in paradise. And the rich man said, oh, Lord, don't forget Lazarus had leprosy. And he said, let me drink some water off Lazarus's leprous finger to soothe the burning in my throat that I'm feeling at this time. Just a drop, anything. And the Lord says, no. There can be no crossing over. Once you're in Hades, you can't repent. Your time's done. He said, then let me just go back and speak. Let send Lazarus back to speak to one of my brothers to let them know the suffering and the pain in this place. He said, no, your time is done. It's powerful, isn't it? It's a very clear picture that when your life is finished on earth, if you're not walking in Christ, you're in big trouble, eternal trouble, amen? Hallelujah. So it says, blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they will be priests and God priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him forever or for 1,000 years, but we will reign with him. We'll be worshipping after that. Can I have the next verse, Joe? And after 1,000 years, Satan will be released from his prison. And the next one, Joe? And he will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. And this is talking about that rebellion they were speaking. He was getting all the armies of the earth to come against Jesus reigning in Jerusalem. Those whose number is as the sand of the sea. So we're talking here after the tribulation that the men and women on the earth are going to multiply again till their numbers are as numerous as the sand on the sea, over which we will be reigning and doing the governance of God. So we won't be sitting on a fluffy cloud in a napkin playing a harp. That'd be a sight for sore eyes, wouldn't it? But we will be reigning in governance of the Holy Spirit with Christ for the Father over millions and millions of people on earth. That's incredible, isn't it? Okay, next verse, please, Joe. They went up over the width of the earth and surrounded the camp. This is the enemy and his hordes, his rebellion, the people who will not, even after 1,000 years of reigning under Christ, still will not give their hearts to him. It's crazy. It's like insane, isn't it? It's absolutely crazy. So the enemy and his hordes, they went up over the width of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. Fire came down out of heaven from God and devoured them. End of. There's no more conversation. No more. I'm going to give you 1,000 years, all right? I'm just going to see if you can turn to me. I'm just going to see if you will turn to me. He just, fire. And there's heaps of ash all over the place. Next verse, please, Joe. The devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet are also. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And the next verse, please, Joe. I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face of the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. Come on, Joe, keep it going. I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and they opened the books. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books. Judgments for sin will be laid upon them. And then according to their works, the sea gave up their dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. This is where the souls of those in Hades and the souls of the unbelievers also receive a body. Okay? They'll receive a body just like ours, but theirs is to go into eternal torment. They will be given a body so that they can feel the pain of hell. That blows Jesus is my girlfriend out the water, doesn't it? They were judged, each one according to his works. And the next one, Joe. Death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is a second death, the lake of fire. Death and Hades there. Death and Hades are spirit. Death is a spirit. Hades is a prison. The Lord just takes hold of them and puts them in everlasting fire forever. We haven't got to worry about that anymore. If anyone was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the fire. Talk about a prophetic. If your name's not down, you're not coming in. If your name's not down, you're not coming in. Remember that song back in the 90s? If your name's not down, you're not coming in. If your name's not down, you're not coming in. I wonder if they got it from this. If your name's not down, you're not coming in. If your name isn't in the book of life, you're done for. And let us just pop back to Revelation chapter 2 and 3. This is extremely important to hear this. People say, you cannot lose your salvation. I probably believe that's true, but I do believe you can give it away. And I'll tell you why. The scriptures tell us. Jesus told people, he said, return. If you continue doing what you're doing, if you continue in your sin, what did he say he was going to do? Blot out their name from the book of life. So that means their name is already there. But sin has taken hold of them, even though they know the goodness of God. That's how powerful sin is. And has taken them away from the Lord to a place where the Lord says, with a broken heart, I'm going to blot your name out. Next verse, please, Joe. If anyone is not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. And there we come to the end of chapter 20. And it does get better as we go on. Chapter 21 and 22 are where we are celebrating having a party in heaven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So today, listen, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. We know the time is near because all the prophecies are being fulfilled. The 7-year peace agreement is being played and the chess pieces are being moved together right at this very moment as we're sitting in here now. We know this. We know what's coming. And we've got a brilliant, brilliant time ahead of us, an adventure to take the word of God and to see people snatched from that fire. Amen? Amen. Let's just close our eyes and bow our heads. I know a man of 96 years of age who was going to church all his life. Thought that made him a Christian. Thought that made him born again. Thought that made him saved. There's a little quip, isn't there? Going to McDonald's doesn't make you a beef burger. The same as going to church doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you a born again believer is that you have a surrendered heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and that you are living for him and living for him only. And whilst every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you're sitting here today and you know that you are not living for him, that you are not surrendered to him, today, as we do most times in this church, we give you an opportunity to just profess him afresh as your Lord and Savior. So if you know you've never asked him to be your Lord and Savior, you've never wanted him, you don't particularly want to be here today. If that's you, get right with God today. And what I would say to you, if there's anyone in this room who knows that their name isn't written in the book of life because they don't profess Jesus as their Savior, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand right now. Raise your hand right now. Bless you.